Blog Talk Radio.
We're live.
Joseph Farmer, the beautiful daughter, the wife who stands by him, and plenty of food. Friend, he's a guilty man. They call him a guilty man. Yes, he's a cruel little man to help the sick, and he's a guilty man. Joe has a big grin, the light shines with him. He chose to help people, and he kept it simple. He's a guilty man. They call him a guilty man. You see, he helps others to heal the sick, and he's a guilty man.
Featured in the Zoom, When Becca gets on the line or picks up your call and screens you, tell her you'd like the Zoom link, and she can give that over to you, and you can jump in, and we can see who we're talking to. Either way, it's good, 646-929-2495. So the Human Solution's been around now for coming up on 11 years. And for 11 years, we've been working together as volunteers. For 11 years, we've been taking chances, risking our livelihoods, our freedoms, by standing up and fighting for our rights. And we have sacrificed our resources and our time by supporting those people that are fighting for their rights. And one of the ways we fight is by participating in a due process, by showing up in court and being physical, moral support. Other ways, we get out and educate people. We talk to defendants that are fighting cases. Now, you know, we're not attorneys, or most of us. I guess there's been a few attorneys in and out of the organization as time has gone by. But generally, we don't give officially legal advice, but we do share our experiences with people that are going through court cases. And, you know, I have personally faced, I think close to 40 felonies, all regarding cannabis and aluminum cans, and that's a whole story. Been locked up numerous times, went to trial, been to court, I don't know, last final count was 230 appearances, something like that. I've been drug out of court and locked up a couple of times. And I've been in courts all over the country, and I've seen a lot of things. And most of us believe that we know how the criminal justice system works. Many of us believe that we know our rights. Many of us believe that we understand the Constitution and how it applies to us. Many of us believe that we know what can and cannot happen in court. That is, until we go there and actually see what happens. So, one of the purposes of this show, is one of my reasons for putting the show on every week, is to teach people from my own personal experience how things really are, and maybe present a counterpoint to how a lot of people think they are. Sharing real stories that happen inside of courtrooms is, I believe, an important part of this show. Giving defendants a chance to talk about their cases and their stories and give them an opportunity to reach out for support. That's another, I think, tremendous value of the show. And I think that education in its purest form is a big part of what the Human Solution is about. So we teach people about opportunities and options that they have. You know, if all we did was listen to our attorneys, and especially if they were mostly public defenders, as generally they are, we would believe that the only way to pursue a criminal case would be to settle a deal. And in many cases, that is the best way, but not always. And any chance you have to stand up and fight, even if you ultimately plead out a deal, you'll be in a better position. So that's certainly one little teeny bit of information. Along the way, during criminal proceedings, there are a lot of things that courts need to do, and they don't always do them. And if you know about them, you can call them out on it, and oftentimes have appealable issues, and oftentimes cases will be dismissed because of, let's call them technicalities, such as, I don't know, not having a proper warrant signed, not having probable cause, having illegal searches and seizures. There's all kinds of things that happen that aren't supposed to happen. And if you've ever been raided, as I've been raided now 2 times, hopefully never again, but they're pretty traumatic experiences. We go through trauma. We all end up in PTSD. If you've ever had a machine gun stuck in your head and been given harsh orders to follow, you go into a fight and flight frame of mind. You don't necessarily know how you're going to behave. We all think to ourselves, oh, somebody pulled a gun on me, here's what I would do. Well, when it happens, sometimes you react the way you think you will, and other times you don't. I've seen it a lot. I've seen people stay their course and shut the hell up and do the right thing, and I've seen people turn into sniveling pukes and start weeping and whining and ratting on everybody around them. I've seen all of those things happen. But mostly, it's traumatic. And mostly it puts us in a state of shock. And we don't always remember everything right. We don't always react the way that we would want to. So having somebody there for you and support and to walk you through what could and should be happening, I believe, is hugely impactful. We offer education about your right as a citizen to nullify a bad law with your vote as a juror. We teach you about jury nullification. And if that is applicable, we bring that to bear. Hang on one second, folks. I've got a menagerie about to erupt. This is the mighty Willow Creek Springs studio that just is always wonderful when it erupts. And you know what? I'm going to have to take a brief moment here. Quiet! Sorry about that, folks. We have live entertainment that rolls in here from time to time. Anyhow, the Human Solution International, we've been around for 11 years, and we're here to help. We support anybody who's going through a cannabis case. And it's a funny thing, you know, the world 11 years ago is a little different than it was today. 11 years ago, there was a couple of states that had laws that allowed for the quote-unquote legal use of cannabis in any way, shape, or form, and we had a certain way that cases were fought. Now there's a myriad of different ways that cases happen. There's various degrees of legal and not, and various different ways that they pursue cases. Generally speaking, what happens in states that have legal guidelines, or they have, what do they call them, qualified immunity, they have a legal defense, however they frame it. They give you a way that you can operate without being considered to be a criminal act. Well, you get charged with being operating outside of those rules, so they still charge you just the same. They just find a way to say, well, you were doing it in a way that you weren't supposed to. And this happens regularly and in every single legal state that we know of. So the thing of it is, the Human Solution International is an all-volunteer organization. We're not a group of lawyers. We're not funded by some big corporation that gives us a budget to spend money on whatever, you know, your legal bills or anything like that. But we're a group of dedicated volunteers that really care enough to stand up and fight and enough to help other people stand up and fight. And many of us have been through court cases and have survived and come out the other side. And fortunately, we have many that have not. And what that means is that we have some people that are intact, that are not beat up and chewed up and spit out by the court system. And they're maybe able to offer even better help. I consider that this organization is an amplifier. So for anybody who's willing to stand up and fight, we empower your efforts by a lot. And so if you put in this much, we put in that much. But what we're not is just a bell that gets rung and say, hey, can you help us? And we just come running and organize and show up and make this, you know, rally or whatever it is you think that's to happen. It's not that way at all. And in some of the most successful cases that we've fought, and I'm in the middle of writing the story about the Kyler Carricker case right now, and that was one of the a great example of a well-executed support. I'm also going to write about my own trial, which was another example of a well-executed support. But there's been a number of cases through the years where the defendant was actively engaged, the defendant's family was actively engaged, a whole team was organized, there was a plan. You know, so many times we operate from a reactive point of view and we don't know what we're doing and we show up at the last second. And even our own attorneys, oh my God, the amount of unplanned or unprepared, ill-prepared attorneys that I've run into. Frankly, it's been most of them. And shame on you, attorneys. You know, you all charge so much money and so much energy, and I know you went to law school and you passed the bar and you know things we don't know. But my God, can't you be prepared once or twice? Because most of the time you're not. And I watch it. Yeah, everything's the last second, last second, last second. That motion should have been filed weeks ago, but no, we get it in right underneath the last second. And we have to deal with it because we're the defendants. We're the ones that are going to suffer the effect. If that judge gets pissed off because you showed up late and weren't prepared, well, guess what? It's us that's going to get thrown in jail. Whether or not it's a paid attorney or not, I've seen it all happen over and over again. Very, very seldom, maybe never, have I seen an attorney that was well prepared, showed up early every single time because it was important. Imagine if your job affected somebody else's freedom. Most of us would say, well, hell, I would make sure I was there early. I would make sure that I did everything I possibly could to vigorously defend my client. I'm sorry. Frankly, it doesn't generally work that way. And most lawyers are overbooked. Why? Because, I don't know, frankly, I think they're a little on the greedy side more often than not. Are they all? No. There's some great lawyers. There's some lawyers that do great work. But even they generally are overworked and they're not dialed in. Oh, God, I just love it. People that I'm working with, on a daily basis. I like to send me text messages while I'm doing the show. I just friggin' love it. So, Bobby, why don't you come in and tell us a little bit. So the Human Solution is not just about cannabis. It's not about just ending prohibition. It's about civil rights, human rights, Native American rights. It's about veterans' rights. It's about disabled rights. It's about supporting all of those inalienable rights that we are bestowed upon by our Creator and have been oftentimes stripped and stomped from us by our oppressors. So Bobby Rodrigo is out there on the front lines right now, and he's doing a whole bunch of good with a whole bunch of good people. And why don't you tell us a bit about what's going on?
So, yeah, hey, everybody. I hope everybody's well. So we're in Portland.
Congratulations, everyone.
And I wanted to introduce these people and have them tell you what to do. And these are people that I'm working with every day now on the ground here in Portland, people who are part of the community. When I got here, and everybody knows, they hear me talk about it all the time, I want the community to tell me what the hell's going on, not the other way around. So these people here are in the community. They're Portland local people. They're working, doing marvelous things. I've been lucky enough to work with them. So we'll start right here with Christopher, since we can see him really well. So Christopher, you're with ETC. So that's Equitable Giving Circle. And there's a few
ETC,
people here.
I'm with the Black Food Sovereignty Coalition. And I'm also a farmer, a local farmer around here.
So I met Christopher. He was actually one of the people I have a reefer truck, and we've been doing distribution. So Christopher worked with me because he's got younger legs.
and you know he can grab the boxes easier out of the reefer truck. I'm gonna be straight here, you know. I mean, and for some reason I'm having difficulty. There we go. I don't know what that's about. Anyway.
No. We love your technical difficulties.
It's entirely entertaining. So over here is Ruthie. She's quiet. Come on.
Can you translate that? Because I didn't hear a word you said. I'm sorry.
Thing is, there's just a long history of how they have done black oppression here. I mean, it's excessive from a policy standpoint to the state. So essentially, people are responding to that, and they're trying to, I mean, it's almost like a reparation thing, but they're basically trying to help. And then with the COVID situation, it's marginalizing everybody that much more because nobody's making any money. We have all these restaurants and all these businesses that are out, and we have people who are, you know, are getting on, some people getting unemployment, but many others are not. Now, Liz, right here, and I think, oh, no, I'm sorry, I went the wrong way. This is Liz.
Hi.
And she runs the logistics for the Equitable Movie. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to say, like, a very important part of Equitable is that it's equitable, right? So basically, first of all, while we're here, our Black leadership is not here right now because they're out getting us money, so we can expand this program, and we're trying to go through the winter at least. Because people are hungry. So really important piece of that is that we are female Black led, and a very important part of that is we are purchasing our farm produce shares directly from BIPOC farmers. So
cool.
We are taking donations from our white allies and accomplices, but we are paying BIPOC people to support their business.
Awesome.
Eventually, we hope to also buy other stuff as well, just to feed people and get things going. But it's been going really well, and it's something that's, like, really touched me about it is that we had a no-cost farmers market for some of our customers. And what was really cool about that is that, like, you know, a lot of people don't think about it, you know. You have a family of four, you have a family of eight. You go to the food bank, you get a steak. We were able to give people as much meat as they, or vegan protein, et cetera, as much meat as they had room for. And people were just like, yeah, it was amazing. Another thing is, because we are BIPOC-led, it doesn't feel like the white savior syndrome. Like, that's a big fucking thing.
That's a big thing, right?
So, no white saviors, we're all on level ground. We will take what we need, but we are going to give our people what they need, how they need it, when they want it.
Awesome,
so.
Awesome. I'm so excited that any of us are being a part of this. When Bobby told me about this project and how it was unfolding was kind of unclear, but now I'm watching it happen, and it's exciting to watch people come together. I think that's the key to all of this, and that people are thinking about each other. I think that so many times, in so many ways, people think about, you know, themselves and their own problems and their family's problems, but to reach out beyond that and to be thoughtful of their neighbor and you know, their community, I think is powerful stuff that hopefully is contagious as well.
Yeah.
Man, you are giving me a headache.
So I'm going to add to that, but let me fix what's going on here. let me do that, and then let me close my thing so we have a normal screen. All right, so, yeah, because that's ridiculous. So anyway, so as Liz was saying and as Amanda was saying, you know, about, well, everybody was saying about how the project works, and then, as you know, I came here specifically with the Wave Northwest and Food Fleet and We Do Better Relief, et cetera, Walk for Change. And ideally, we have all these commodities, 40,000 pounds of fish that arrived at the Port of Seattle with lingcod and staple fish. So the idea was, until we create our own box program and get it rolling, I'm not going to let commodities sit. So we went out into the community to look for people that we could work with. And one of the heads of the Black Food Sovereignty Commission, coalition, was mentored by Quavenon Nkrumah, who Joe, I introduced you to some years ago, is my partner at Atlanta Food and Farms, that he founded. So I came here looking for Eddie. We had already talked on the way. So it was funny. So he was on Facebook Live one of the Mondays that they do stuff, and I saw him. I'm like, oh, shit, let me get in the car. So I drove over, and that's how I wound up at the Red. That's how we're working with Feed the Mass. Everybody sees that on the Walk for Change, and that's how I met Equity Giving Circle. So it was really organic, which is cool. And then I know the Native American thing that is so important to Human Solutions
So we have been working directly with the Native American community on a number of times. We went to a processing center that's going to be animated to work with the fishing season with the coalition tribes in the Columbia River, so we can employ tribal members as well. Yesterday I was at the Native American Youth and Family Association dropping off fish, because they feed 750 meals twice a week. So now they can do 250 of them, because they do three different types of meals. So on twice a week, 250 of them will be with the fish that we have. So we're just trying to add to the community on that. Like we were at a senior center yesterday. We dropped off stuff yesterday for that as well. You know, we were at the Dolls yesterday. There was 330 cars or whatever. 330 cars that we did. Native American, all of the Native American houses. So we're involved with the communities that need. And I know everybody saw my trip to the In Lieu sites, which of course everybody knows pretty much now how pissed off I was when I came out of there. You know, and so we are reconnecting with them on a daily basis. And we're doing it with the Native American leaders. We're not just walking in and assuming shit. We're working with the people who can tell us what they need, just like this community is. And it's working. It's really working. And we've got some great news coming up, some great announcements coming up. Obviously, the U.S. Solution International is going to be part of it with its work for the Native Americans as well. So, yeah, I just wanted to give you guys an update and have you meet everybody, since we're here drinking tequila and eating tacos at Eli's.
Awesome. Well, it's exciting. And, I am just... It warms my heart to know that this kind of work is happening right now in a time when so many people are going through hardship. And, you know, at the end of the day, if we did this kind of thing all across the country, we wouldn't have that hardship. And my guess is we'd be repairing the things that are broken across the land. So hopefully it takes off and is contagious and more people can get involved. Now, how does somebody get involved with this effort right now if they want to help out?
So certainly the Equitable Giving Circle. So what is the website for the ETC? EquitableGivingCircle.org is them. Black Food Sovereignty Coalition.org is theirs. BFSC. And then We Do Better Relief. And then, of course, the Walk for Change. And then, of course, the Human Solution International. All of it can be directed to what we're doing here in Portland or anywhere else for that matter when it comes to these kind of projects.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate you taking your time out to share this with us, and we support you.
Have a good one. Thank you for the time.
All right.
See you.
All right, so we have a whole lot of big show coming up right now, and a lot of things happening. A lot of things have happened. I have an update about Michael Thompson that I want to share. Now, Michael Thompson, if you don't know, is somebody that we've been supporting for, I don't know, about 7 years now, I think, close to that, maybe more. Anyways, if you don't know his story, he's been locked up for many years in Michigan, and he's got a case that was a pot case, a prosecutor with a vendetta, and a judge, and stacked charges, and every kind of bad thing that you could imagine. Oh, by the way, he's a black man. And I don't know how much that plays into it or not, but I know that our criminal justice system is effing broken, and Michael has paid so far beyond whatever the price should be for selling 3 pounds of pot. It broke my heart back then, and I spent a lot of time with Michael for several years, and Dee Dee Kirkwood has been spearheading the campaign to free Michael for the past 4 or 5 years now. And she's done some amazing, amazing work in working with the government in Michigan, working with family members, working with other advocates and activists. She's connected the Last Prisoner Project with Michael's case and so many other things. So there's a lot more attention being brought to his story now than I've seen maybe ever. And I hope it's enough, and I hope it helps. And I'm looking down to get the, okay, here it is. Because Michael got sick, and Michael came down with the COVID. And regardless of what anybody thinks about this disease, this virus, Michael's got it, and it's affecting him in a dramatic negative way. So I'm going to just read for you this update, and this is from Dee Dee Kirkwood. Joe, here's a report on Michael for the show today. For the last week, he's been locked up in a prison hospital by himself, and he's not doing well. The food they're giving him is garbage institution food, and all he wants is some Ensure to give him nutrients. Otherwise, he's just drinking his milk and juice that come with the meals. I'm trying different avenues to get him some Ensure, but his health is seriously challenged right now. His symptoms are that he's totally without energy and completely drained of life force. I'm too emotional to speak today, but wanted to give you a report to make on his behalf. P.S. There's no TV in his room, not able to receive email or snail mail, and today not even a phone call. And Michael has been calling Dee Dee, I don't know, I know at least once a day, probably several times a day for many years. And, you know, you get a connection with people that you're working with. You know, when Craig was locked up, I got used to his regular phone calls, and sometimes when he got locked down or there was something wrong beyond the fact that he was locked up, it kind of shakes you. And you're like, you know, because there's nothing you can do. If your family member's sick, you can go in there and provide comfort. You can give them a glass of water. You can rub their head. You can do something. But when somebody's sick and they're locked up, you know, that's one of the things that's the most difficult about that whole process. I remember when I was locked up and my wife was going through huge hardships with the bail and with the, just trying to organize support and all the people that were attacking her and giving her bad information and using her and all these terrible things that were happening. And that was the thing that got me the most. That was the most punishment that I received, was that I couldn't do anything about it. I was stuck. I was behind bars. Well, Michael's the one that's not only behind bars, but now he's sick. And so, you know, this show's all about action. This show's all about caring. This show's all about the human solution and what we're about, which is just as the title might indicate, we go out of our way to be part of the solution. And so, you know, look him up, Michael Thompson. There's a lot of articles out there right now. There's a lot of calls to action. The Last Prisoner Project has put out a really good newsletter that has letters to write, where to send them. There's all kinds of good work and good information. And I just want to say this to anybody who's involved with nonprofit work, with helping other people in any way, shape, or form, advocacy, activists, you know, work with others. It's not about glory. It's not about credit and pride and any of that. It's about actually helping people that need the help. Watching what Bobby's doing in Portland with all of these different groups is what we're all about. Find the need and jump in there and contribute, and don't worry about whose name's on it. You know, the Human Solution's been working with other groups forever, and we want to work with more groups. We want to do more projects with more people. I don't know. Maybe it's time to put aside our own element out of this and just be part of the solution. So, anyways, that's the update with Michael Thompson. Let's see. We are going to try to make this a one-hour show, and that gives us 20 minutes left to go. And I got a lot to talk about in 20 minutes. So let's first of all go to Mike Webb. Now, Mike Webb, if you don't know already, is a chapter coordinator for the Human Solution Kansas chapter. He also was a political candidate until today, was running for the state representative office, and lost the election today. But I believe that the whole experience that he brought to this organization, and in fact, we launched a new organization, the Human Solution Foundation, out of this, was maybe as valuable, if not more valuable, than had he won this election. So let's hear what's going on with Mike and what the plan is from here on out. Mike Webb, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Joe. Doing pretty good. You know, just like you said, we learned a lot. It was very valuable, and we'll definitely be using the information in the future. We had some good connections, and we're going to move forward with some of those people who are in control of things and can make some things happen, and I'm going to attempt to bring them to the table and help us with criminal justice reform. And then we're going to get together with some of the toughest guys in Kansas, and we're going to write a medical marijuana bill that we can get introduced into legislation with pre-approvals and stuff, and we're going to work on getting people out of jail. I mean, we got a whole lot of work left, you know. There's a lot to do.
Absolutely. And you know, I think that maybe one of the most important things that happened here was that incumbent was decimated. And
right.
When I watched the debate that you guys had, that incumbent was, in my opinion, the classic incumbent. You know, the guy who came in with his college degree and his credentials, but he didn't even remember what he had voted on, and he didn't know. He just spoke political speak, and when he got called to task on what he did and what he was going to do, he stammered and stuttered and didn't have a whole lot to say. So I believe that even though I think you would have done a better job, the guy that got elected, at least his platform seemed to be okay and some common sense to it. And the fact that we're now connected to the people that are pushing on him, I think that's a good idea. And so, and now we've got the Human Solution Foundation. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that is? Because that's a whole nother layer of support, a whole nother way that people can participate and help out.
Well, the majority of what I'm going to be doing moving forward is going to be under the 501c4 because it's going to be pushing for policy changes, lobbying in Topeka, those kinds of things. Maybe we can even register it as a lobbyist group or an organization. We can talk to Kevin about that. But, you know, everything we do, the criminal justice reform plan, I mean, we can give it to the 501c3 later on or have it designed by or whatever. But to put money into stuff and to put together policy the way we're going to, we'll operate under the 4 and then, you know, that's what we're going to do. We're going to try to incubate some candidates, find some youngsters or some people with some good moral set and intelligent understanding of the way the world works so that we can maybe get some leaders in there, not just people who vote the way that somebody else thinks that they should or somebody that got manipulated to do it. Maybe we can actually move in a group of guys that will actually get it done.
Well, it's interesting. We were talking earlier today in a behind-the-scenes meeting about an idea that I had about, you know, the 501c3 is able to sign off on court-ordered community service hours, and we're about to launch a campaign that is going to advertise that and bring volunteers that come out of the court system. And, you know, I thought that what if we were to take and research all of the elected offices that are available and really, you know, put in some time researching the districts, who the incumbents are, who the candidates are, what their voting records are, and find places that there are open seats for the taking, in the sense of, you know, with a limited amount of budget, we could get in with a message and some support and maybe get seated some good common folks that bring some common sense approach. I think we could make a difference that way. You know, we work from the outside with our grassroots protesting and standing up and fighting, and we work from the inside as we can, learning the system that governs this world and learning how to operate within it and change it from the inside as well. So I'm super excited about all this progress, and, you know, we're marching forward in a big way. So your run for office was inspiring, and I think it's going to help us to create some new projects that are going to empower a lot of people across the land.
Sounds good. And tomorrow afternoon, Joe, I'd like to try to get a video call with you because we're going to lay out a site plan there in Oklahoma, just so you know.
Awesome.
I threw that in there.
That sounds like a great idea. Always moving forward. So, yeah, we can totally do that. And if somebody wants to get involved, now I understand we have one case, and this is something I want to bring up, a term that not everybody understands. So we've been talking about, you know, with COVID and the virtual fallout that's going on in the court systems, there aren't a lot of jury trials going on right now, if any. And we have a client, or a defendant that we're supporting, and it's one of several defendants in this ridiculous case where there was less than a gram of cannabis, and there's three people charged with multiple felonies as a result. And it is one of the most ridiculous cases I've ever seen. And one of the defendants that's been charged, the attorney basically signed off on a bench trial. And this is a defendant that was willing to stand up and fight. And what people don't know, if they don't know what a bench trial is essentially the judge is the judge and the jury. And I'm going to bring Craig Cecil up here. He just showed up, and I'm going to just let him sit in on this as we're going. And so with a bench trial, instead of having all the rights and all the due process that comes with presenting evidence and the rules of court, and a jury getting to decide based on the judge's instructions and the evidence that they've seen, the judge does it all. And you basically you're literally falling on the blade of justice with the judge being the one to execute everything. So in my opinion, it's a very, very, very worst possible solution. Unless this attorney happens to know something that they're not sharing, and maybe they know the judge, maybe they know the judge is going to be lenient or make some sense. But anyways, if anybody is in a situation like this where you're thinking that you're going to take a case to trial, and because of the current state of the virus and the court systems, that they're going to push you into a bench trial, I would strongly advise against it, as I believe it's your very worst possible option. Maybe a plea deal would even be better, depending on your situation. What do you think, Craig?
Now, to be honest, as a matter of strategy, you go for a bench trial if you're arguing as a matter of law that there's some part of the law that precludes you from being convicted for some reason. Now, if you want to argue the fact that, no, I wasn't there, no, this person is lying, or something like that, that's a factual decision that's better left to a jury. You know what I mean?
Well, in this case, you're dealing with a charge of possession of cannabis in a state where there's no law that allows for it. And so, it becomes a moral issue as much as anything. In this case, there's less than a gram of cannabis at stake, and there's three individuals being charged with multiple felonies over it. And it's a case that likely a jury would see the ridiculousness of the charges, regardless of what the law was. So in this case, I agree. You know, if you're in almost like an appeal situation where you're actually arguing that you were following the law, and your evidence would support that, hey, that's what the judge is supposed to do. That's what, you know, like in an appellate court, they're gonna rule on the actual facts of the case and the law. But when you're dealing with a bad law, go ahead.
I've actually had a bench trial one time, and I specifically requested it because it was one of those things where it may look like I just piled these bodies up here, but you can't even look at it because you really did this. And so that's why I took it, because that was all that mattered was the technicality. All the rest of it, I can look as guilty as possible. That doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, you broke the law when you did this, and it's over. And a judge would understand that, and then a jury may not. They might be like, no, we don't care. Look at all those bodies. That dude's done. I hate to say bodies. I was just kind of, you know, going harsh on it.
Absolutely. No, no, but that's the point of this. So when you're dealing with a cannabis case where the law says you cannot have it and they say you did have it, you know, that's a case where the judge might not be favorable. Hopefully because of the small amount and the fact that there's three people charged with that same small amount, and there was only one small amount, and all these three people are charged with the same crime of that less than a gram. So there's issues
Joe, that's the worst part of this whole thing, is this is a 17-year-old boy, so he's a juvenile, and he's slightly autistic. And this attorney is, like, forcing, because the first one to take this charge basically gets it. There is no more possession for anybody else. You can't charge three people with 0.02 grams of marijuana. They don't work that way. And so once they charge somebody, so he's setting up the kid to take the whole fall for the whole thing so that they can get the parents with the felonies for endangering a child.
Absolutely. Well, I certainly hope that this attorney, you know, actually has his client's best interest in mind and knows something about this judge and about his influence over the situation. And hopefully, you know, the best thing will happen. But I just, you know, would caution anybody who right now is just listening to an attorney. Your attorney doesn't necessarily have your best interest in mind. And hopefully they do. And they should, and many of them do, but a lot of times attorneys are as worried about their schedule and about, you know, the inconvenience of taking things to trial as they are of your, you know, your freedom and your relative safety.
Now, it may be on that small of a quantity, there may be a trialable issue to say that's only one person's quantity of marijuana, then you go with the what they call the toady defense. T-O-D-D, or it's basically the other guy did it. So you kind of split it so that there's no proof beyond a reasonable doubt about any person. There's reasonable doubt against all of them.
Right.
Because they really can't figure out, you know, whose was it.
And that very well may be his plan, and we just don't know, but you know, communication is always the culprit behind most of the problems that go on in life, and communication between attorneys and their clients is, in my experience, one of the worst lines of communication that happen. And I don't know how many defendants I work with that say, you know, I haven't heard anything from my attorney. I don't know what's going on. He told me this was going to happen, but then I don't hear from him. And so hopefully that's not what's happening here, and hopefully this attorney's just doing the thing he knows is going to be best for his client. Well, I'm looking forward to the update, and Mike, if somebody wants to get involved, both with the 501c4 or helping out with the Human Solution International Kansas chapter, how would they get a hold of you?
The Human Solution International Kansas chapter page on Facebook. You can find us on thsintl.org. We're pretty easy to find.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate everything you're doing, and, you know, tough luck on the campaign, but I believe that we're still going to have an impact, and I believe there's going to be a law that allows for some freedom in Kansas that's going to be in no small part because of the work we're doing. So we're just going to keep on plugging at it, and that's the difference between success and failure, is the success fails enough times until they succeed, and that's what we're doing. We're just going to keep at it until we get what we want.
Thanks, Joe. You guys have a good night.
All right. Thank you. All right, Mike Webb, folks. All right, Craig, so how are you doing today? How was your week of freedom, or sort of freedom, quasi-freedom?
Well, it's not really freedom because remember, it's still home confinement.
I understand. That's why I cut myself off pretty quick.
But home confinement is a lot better than United States Penitentiary.
Indeed.
Tell you that.
The food's a lot better, that's for sure.
Well, yesterday, they gave me a pass to go to the doctor. And unfortunately, the only doctors the Bureau of Prisons is willing to pay for are ones that are in the ghetto of Chicago.
Nice.
But the one good thing about going to the ghetto of Chicago is I got to get a Maxwell Street Polish.
Awesome.
That's the Chicago treat.
I love it. Well, there you go. So you find the silver in all the clouds.
Oh, yeah. The Polish sausage from there with all the sauerkraut on it, the grilled onions.
I love it.
Peppers.
So, I want to bring up, and this isn't something that everybody knows, but your daughter is going for a surgery right now. In fact, did she have the surgery already?
Yes, she's in recovery right now. The doctors reported everything went as planned, and with any luck, she'll be home tonight. It's an arthroscopic surgery on her hip, and they ended up having to cut and move and, you know, reconfigure about four or five different things in there, but the doctors seem to be, you know, upbeat about it. So
good,
I'm pretty
good.
Happy. We're hoping to see her in an hour or two.
Excellent. Well, just remember anything that you need from my end, just let me know, and I got whatever that she can use. But, you know, it's family is so important, and, you know, Lauren has been such a supportive element in your case, and you know, being there, it's crazy. Then all of a sudden, then she's in a spot where now she needs help. And so, anybody who's inclined to think good thoughts, visualize, pray, whatever, you know, think of a little pixie. She's like a little fairy. Like she needs wings, I think, and just a sweet soul. So, anyways, want to see her getting healthy and happy and out there working again.
That'll be great. The son-in-law is leaving out of town for a week on Saturday.
Okay.
So she's worried about having to put up with my cooking.
All right. Well, you know, those are problems that are easily solved. So that's awesome. So any progress on the job front? Anything else to report?
No, the job front has been pretty dry. I'm still trying to call together, you know, more and more people for help in that regard, and there's more and more people saying that they're going to try to look a little bit for me, so
okay.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Excellent. Well, if you want to send me some kind of a statement about the things that you're looking for, we can put together, the Human Solution can certainly put together a campaign that we can, you know, put an article out or you know, something that might reach different people.
Thank you, because it's a tough market for anybody right now, and it's hard when the first words out of your mouth is, I'm a federal prisoner.
Right. Well, I could give you a job with the Human Solution, but we don't pay any money, so it would be a lot of good hard work, but we pay in what we call unlimited intangible benefits. So you get a lot of good feeling in your heart, but no cash in your pocket.
Well, right now I'm working on the paperwork for my court, so hopefully that'll earn me something there. So.
Absolutely. Awesome. All right, well, I'm going to bring up Becca now. Becca is she's a board member of the Human Solution, and she's the treasurer of the Human Solution, and she is a whole lot more than that. She's been my right hand in this operation for the last several years in most things we've done. She's done probably 99% of the website. You know, a few people have done a few things, but she's done the lion's share of the Human Solution website, including rebuilding the entire thing. We're coming up every 2 years. This organization holds elections of all of its leadership positions, including the entire board, the executive positions, everything. And so it's a true democratic election, meaning every active member of the Human Solution International has a vote. And anybody who's in good standing and has been a member for a year or better can actually run for office. And so right now we're accepting applications for positions, and we're going to give candidates an opportunity to to talk on the podcast and explain their reasons for wanting to run. Again, these are not paid positions. These are not glory positions. These are positions where you're going to be given a lot of work to do, and you're not going to get much love for it. You're just gonna work and try to make the world a better place. And so for those people that have that in them to do, we have lots of need for your help. So, Becca, I'm going to bring you up, and we can talk about what these positions are. And we're going to be holding the election at the end of September. So Becca is an amazing person of many names. Today she is the Ninja Cat. So Ninja Cat, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
So why don't you you've really put together the way that we have set up our election, and we have on the website thsintl.org, the very opening page, you're going to see a little blurb about this, and there's a button that's now nice and red and easy to see, and if you'd like, I could read the positions, or do you want to just kind of talk about what is going on with the election and what's at stake and why is it so important?
Yeah, sure. One reason it's so important is because we're the ones leading the human solution, but the really cool part is we're the only organization I know of that allows our members to elect the directors and the people holding the positions. So I encourage anyone who thinks they have something to offer to apply to be on the board of directors. I mean, the reason I got this position is I wrote you guys an intent letter years ago telling you you'd be stupid not to have me on. So come at it with that attitude if you got something to offer.
But it was so true. You know, when we originally got started as an organization, we brought in all these people that to sit on our original board. And it was, in hindsight, a foolish act to bring in all of these people that we thought were, you know, good leaders and would work together and all of this. But after less than 2 years of working together, many of them didn't show up. Some of them got into quarrels and squabbles, and some left because of this or that. Or at the end of the day, we realized that it was better to have a smaller board and to have a more committed board. And now, instead of us looking for you, it's important that, you know, you seek us out and tell us why you should be on our leadership team. And we have an advisory board that, you know, we've established, and we're establishing that, you know, people that want to have a voice and have discussion about things we're doing but not be stuck with the responsibility can participate in. But these are the real positions. So why don't you kind of lay out what these positions mean?
Okay, the president would be you, Joe. The president, you know, you're pretty much overseeing everything, making sure everybody's on task. I'm pretty much doing the vice president job, but I can't do that in treasurer. So you need a vice president, somebody who has your back, who can run meetings, take care of stuff when you're not available. And the treasurer, which is me, keeps task control of the money, keep it up to date, a lot, budgets, things like that. But good luck getting that away from me. And then secretary, which would be taking notes and keeping all of our paperwork in order with the state. And then we have several director's positions open as well to be regular board of directors. But I want to make it really clear that we're not playing around anymore. So we're going to bet you really hard, and we're going to keep you on task, and we're going to expect you to do what you say you're going to do. So if you want to be on this board, be prepared to work. Work hard.
Absolutely. And you know, it's really important. People don't realize, you know, how much work goes on. I say in these behind-the-scenes meetings all the time, we're really good at doing things. We're terrible at telling the story of all the things we do. And we're going to start telling more of the stories of things we do so that people can even understand how many projects that have been successful out there, from campaigns to support defendants to, like I said, recently this year we rebuilt a house for a defendant who was, you know, not able to see her child because of the state of her home. Many different civic-minded actions that we've done, working together with this food distribution project that we're working on up in Portland right now. So many different projects that we have done historically. We have supported, encouraged people to support even legislation where we did it in a way where we weren't putting money towards it, but we were encouraging people to write a letter on the Rohrabacher FAR amendment that we did a few years ago. And so many things have actually happened as a result of all the hard work of the people that have been doing this. But behind it all, there's a team of leaders that are working together and drafting the language of the efforts we're doing, organizing their small communities, bringing chapters together, really putting it all together. So it's every 2 years I've been elected president for the last 5 elections, all of the elections, in fact. But I've always said, if somebody wants it more than I do, if somebody cares about this work as much as I do and can do a better job or even as good of a job, I'll have your back. I would gladly yield this position to somebody who would put as much heart and love into it as I do. And that's really all it's about. And you know, again, this is a thankless job. This is a job that we don't do for anything other than to know that we're making the world better, that guys like Craig, you know, when I got to go out and spend a weekend with Craig, it was like, to me, all the reward for all the work I've ever done with the Human Solution, because for years we thought about it, we planned it, we figured out something would happen, and then all of a sudden it did. And I've got up next, I got George Martirano on the line. He's another example. I'm bringing George up live right now, too. So we're going to have more live voices. Hey, George. So we were just talking about the Human Solution.
Hey, Joe, how's it going? How's everybody out there in California? How's my California family? How's it going?
We're doing great. We're doing great. So how are you doing?
Well, I'm in New York City. I'm in the heart of Manhattan. I'm down here on Exit Street. I'm with the Happy Monkey. They're very popular bunch of guys here. They have they do a lot for the city. They bring a lot of joy to the city with the cannabis industry. And now we're doing their podcast. They do a regular podcast. They do several a week. So I always try to come when I'm in the city. They always try to help them with their podcast, and I want to introduce you to my friend Latimer. He's the director of it all. That's Joe Gumbine, head of Human Solutions.
Honor and a pleasure to meet you, Joe. This is Vladimir.
How are you doing, Vladimir?
All is well, Joe. Here over here with George, getting ready to do this podcast. You know, we always like to shed light on the amazing superheroes like George that are doing great things for this industry.
Well, Joe.
Absolutely.
Joe came to help me while I was in a cell. His organization, Human Solutions, it's a national organization. I believe they're international. Just great people, you know. These are hardworking people. Joe's in the cannabis industry, CBD mostly, and they came. They sought me out from a cell to try to help me come home. So these are very, very important people to me and very important people to other people. But anyway, Joe, interesting story. We're in Manhattan. I'm here with my cousin Bobby, and we're trying to open up the Hip Hemp Hotel in Manhattan, the Hip Hemp Hotel. And what we want to do is as much as we can for these mentally oppressed people right now. You know, they have these people. This is the greatest city in our country, and you can't believe that they believe what's going on here. It's just crazy. So if I could open up the Hip Hemp Hotel, I can make a lot of difference in people's lives. So that's why I'm here in Manhattan. And incidentally, while I'm here, ladies and gentlemen out there, they just closed the bridges. You can't leave. So you remember George Washington when they crossed the Delaware? Well, I'm going to have to be George Martirano pushing the goddamn Hudson River to get back to Philly. It's 1920. About 2 o'clock this morning, I'm going to go look for a rowboat. Just want to share that with everybody. That's how crazy this world is right now.
George is like family, so anytime you're in New York, you know, you got some cannabis family industry people here at your service.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, next time I come up there, I'll look you guys up.
Yeah, I'll be out there. I keep saying I'll be out there, but I'll be out there. I promise you, everybody. All right?
I know you will. And we'll be here as well.
Take care. Everybody, please take care. D.D., Lisa, take care. Thank you.
Bye, George.
All right. So, you know, it's wild because George comes in here every week or most weeks, but I don't think he can hear us half the time. And I try to bring him into the conversation, and sometimes I just don't know. I think it's a one-way street. But he's doing such good work. And, again, the same almost at the same time when I think I met George before I met you, Craig, and began to understand that we had these guys that were locked up in prison for life for pot, and we so many of us got woke up to that, and you know, the Human Solution went from being a court support centered organization to heavily involved with prison outreach, and then since then we've taken on even broader topics of human rights issues. So Becca, I just wanted to share a little something here. So the key to this election is that every member of the Human Solution has a vote, and we will be setting up the election process come about mid-September. And the thing is a lot of people that have signed up at one time or another. We've been around for 10 years, and I have a lot of people that think they're card-carrying active members because 4 years ago, you know, they gave somebody $10. And, you know, like somehow that got them a lifetime membership. Our memberships are annual. And so even those of us that are paying a monthly, you know, a 420 month or however you set up your monthly dues, it only runs for a year at a time. So you have to remember to renew it. Otherwise, it'll stop. And so just remember, right now we're doing a membership drive, and we're looking to get not only as many members, but look, in order to qualify to run for office, you have to have been a member for at least a year or be able to explain to us why that doesn't matter and you are still the right person for the job. And so right now, even if, say, you were a member 5 years ago, 8 years ago, and you hadn't renewed your membership for the last 5, 6 years, doesn't matter. Sign back up again, and you would qualify to run for office because you had been a member at least for that long. So we had a donation of some masks that have a solidarity ribbon on them, and they look a little like this. Okay, so they've got a nice solidarity ribbon on them, and for anybody who doesn't know what this ribbon is, it is exactly what it says. It's a solidarity ribbon. It shows that we're standing together with the people that are trying to make a difference, and including the people that we're fighting for, the prisoners that we're supporting, the defendants that we're supporting, and each other. We're standing in solidarity. Look that word up. It's a very important word. So we have five of these masks. I don't know if you can see them through my little thing, but I've got more than five of them, but I'm donating five of them for the next five members that sign up are going to get, in addition to their membership package, a solidarity ribbon mask. And hopefully soon enough, that will be a thing of the past, and it'll be hanging up on your wall to remember the craziness of the year of the COVID. But for now, it's still an important part of a lot of people's lives. So that is a thing. So anything that you want to add to that as we're moving forward? We're already in overtime, and I said I wasn't going to do that. So, Becca, you got anything you want to add to that?
No, go get your membership. If you're not a member, we're really cheap. So just go become a member. You can vote at least and support
exactly.
us. That's it.
Yep, awesome. All right, well, thank you, and I look forward to our next adventure. Craig, do you have any parting shot? As we got Tom Corby going to come up to to say his final words, but I generally give you the last word before that happens.
Well, you know, my push is everybody get on the computer, get on the phone, get a hold of your state congressman, your federal House of Representative member, your senator. Somebody needs to move ahead for legislation to decriminalize, deschedule marijuana as a Schedule I narcotic. Just get it off the books.
Absolutely, absolutely. Awesome. All right, well, we're going to bring up Tom Corby to say his final words here. Tom Corby, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you, Joe. Becca for screening, Ken, and the Coffee Party Radio Show, always great to have Craig Cecil hosting again. Looking good, my friend, and thank you for all you're doing. When I talk about the doctors, we don't give the doctors enough credit sometimes. In Butte County up here in the Northern California, because we backed them down, we have no cases. We're actually able to grow comfortably from 30 plants with our collective. And I really suggest strongly keeping your doctor's recommendation up to date. Six plants, you probably don't even need one just for six plants. The doctor's rule, I want to give an example. One of the cases, the trials I went to with Joseph Tully. Joe might remember back then that Nick Moran's case was one of the biggest cases in Butte County with cannabis. We got a full acquittal, all 12 jurors. I remember we were sitting there at the court support on the right side, and Tully kept looking. And interesting about this case is the arresting officer was actually prosecuting Nick Moran with the PD that didn't understand anything. Consider that. So he's talking about doctor's recommendation to the jury. And this arresting officer said, yeah, well, a lot of these recommendations, there you can get them online. They don't mean anything. So he kept looking past me, and he finally said, you notice that Dr. Allen sitting right back up there. You ought to have seen the jury turn their head. That nailed it. So I strongly recommend keeping those doctor's recommendations up to date. Try to stay with the laws and the guidelines. Never consent to search. If the code enforcement comes, always record it. And always consent. No search at all. And stand your ground and let them know they're trespassing. What's that mean? Post your private property signs around your property, and that could be very instrumental. I want to thank everybody today, and I want to thank my friends here, Frank and Ann, Tito. We have Angela and some new help to help Donna. And we want to thank them and everybody sending their support for Donna and I. Okay, so I want to thank you again, Joe. And in that case, with Nick Moran, just goes to show you, we always take the trial. We just make no deals. Sometimes that's not the case. It depends on the defendant's decision. We always get our discovery, and we work our case, and we file our 995 dismissed probable cause motion. Most cases, there's no probable cause, and most cases are entrapment. So thank you again all today, and don't forget to just breathe.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Craig, for joining us today. And I want to thank everybody who's made a decision in their lives to become a part of the solution. It's something that every single day we have an opportunity to do. We live in America, regardless of how screwed up it might be, it's still the greatest place on earth. We have the most opportunity, and we can make the changes if we put it in our heart. It's not about the size of the army. It's about the heart of the soldiers and the generals that are leading it. And if we have the heart to make this change, we will make it. We'll see you all next week. Whoops, got the wrong one.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Teapot Party and I endorse the Human Solution, supporting cannabis prisoners because no one should go to jail for a plant.
Little things I should have said and done. You were always on my mind.